get the local view. He's a columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work in the sports section, online, registerguard.com. Check out ducksports.com. Should you have a more focused interest, online, actually on Twitter. It's at Austin Meek, RG. Austin, how are things with you? Obviously, I'm shaky.
Hey, Steve, I'm fine. Thanks.
All right, so you got here for the 2014 football season, I believe. Is that accurate?
I actually got here midway through the 2013 football season.
Okay.
So 14 was my first full season.
All right, correct. So that was Mariota's Heisman year and all that team accomplished. But there were not – you really didn't have any thrilling wins at home. There was a big one against Michigan State. 2015, the closest game at Autzen was a loss. 2016 was horrible. So easy to say that this was really the first electrifying home win you've seen covering Oregon.
It was definitely the best game that I've seen at Autzen, definitely the best win that I've seen there. You know, I think there's something different about it when the fans have been waiting for it, when they've had to go through some pain and suffering to get there, you know? Because when you're winning pretty much every game by 30 points or more, maybe you've got a close one in there somewhere, but there's not that sense of relief or of euphoria that comes when you beat the team that beat you last year, that beat you the year before. You know, there was payback on the line. A lot of pent-up feelings about Washington after those last two games. So to me, it clearly goes to number one on my list of the best games I've seen at Austin.
Yeah, like I said, I've been here since 90. I actually put it in my top five. So, yeah, it was special. Today's news, Penei Sewell out pretty much the rest of the regular season, ankle injury. We saw Throckmorton switch from the right side and be effective. You knew coming in, they appeared to be deep on the offensive line. How well suited do you think they are to withstand this injury to this outstanding young player?
You know, I think if there's any scenario where you could lose your starting left tackle and feel okay about it, it's probably the situation that Oregon has. And obviously, it's a big loss. Penei Sewell stepped in there as a true freshman, first true freshman to start on the offensive line for Oregon, I believe, since 1997, and had played remarkably well. You know, looked like a veteran out there. So it's a tough loss, for sure, and they'll miss him. But you've got Calvin Throckmorton, who can move to left tackle. You've got Brady Aiello, who has been described basically as the sixth starter on that offensive line, so he'll be able to step in. You feel like they ought to be able to handle it okay, and that's part of the reason why Mario Cristobal put so much emphasis on building depth, especially on the offensive line, because rarely do you get through a season starting the same five guys in every game on the offensive line. You have injuries, you got to move some guys around. And I think Mario Cristobal has built that group so that they can withstand that.
You know, along those lines, as we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, the title of your game article about the Cristobal impact, coaches say things about what they want to accomplish. Sometimes reality gets in the way. But his emphasis on physicality and even what we've seen defensively with some big short yardage stops and how the offensive line is muscled up, I mean, usually it takes a little while. I feel like they've taken on his personality pretty quickly.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we have had the conversation. I certainly have raised the question of what is Oregon's identity going to be under Mario Cristobal? And before we ever saw him really coach a game, I think one of the things that I wasn't sure about was how is all this going to work? How is he going to sort of take what Oregon has done in the past and meld that with his vision of being a really tough, big, physical football team up front? Well, Saturday, I think we saw all of that come together, and it was better than anything I would have predicted for the first year of what Mario Cristobal is trying to do. I didn't think that they would be, at this point, this fast in terms of really, you know, remaking the whole identity of the program. It's been a huge change, and he made the point after the game, it's not just the change from the Mark Helfrich, Chip Kelly era into what they're doing now. It's also changed from the Willie Taggart era. Their offense is different than what they did last year. It's a different identity under Mario Cristobal, but man, they bought into it really quickly. They've put themselves in a position now where you feel like they're maybe the team to beat in the Pac-12 North. I didn't think I would be saying that about Oregon at this point in the season.
Yeah, me either. One general question, you know, sometimes a setback to a young player can have lingering effects. Obviously, in the Stanford game, C.J. Verdell fumbled in a key spot. And then he bounces back with 106 yards at Cal. And, of course, this week, 111 yards, two touchdowns, the gamer. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman. I mean, could we take a moment to acknowledge that this young guy's got some serious resolve?
Yeah, I think I saw the stat this week that he is the first ever Oregon freshman to run for 100 yards or more in three straight games to open conference play. So he's doing some stuff that Oregon freshmen haven't done in the past. And it was impressive to see how he bounced back from that Stanford game, because I think you're right. When you've got a young player who makes a mistake like that, sometimes that can get in their head. Sometimes it could set them off course for the rest of the season, but that hasn't happened with him. He came back from that and really has kind of seized a hold of the running back job now. Tony Brooks James was healthy this last week, but Oregon basically only used him on kickoffs and maybe a couple series of running backs, because that's how they feel about Verdell. I think they really feel like he is their best running back, and he's separated himself.
No, I mean, you look, the two guys got carries, if you don't count the quarterback. You alluded to it. I want to see about Oregon. So they got the tiebreaker against Washington. They play Washington State. They beat the Bears. I hate this. I mean, it's rude, but Oregon State's still kind of a disaster. Stanford looks vulnerable and plays four of their final six on the road. Are we that comfortable saying the Ducks look like the team to beat in the North? Still a fair amount of football left.
Yeah, you know, maybe this is like a distinction without a difference here, but I kind of feel like Oregon is the team to beat right now, but I don't know if I would say that Oregon is the favorite, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I think when you beat the preseason favorite, when you take down Washington, I think the target now is on Oregon's back. I think now everybody's saying, okay, Oregon, you know, you're going to get our best shot now. The thing that would give me a little bit of pause is looking at Oregon's schedule. You know, they have four of their last six on the road. They got to go to Washington State, which is not an easy place to play. They got to go to Salt Lake in November. That's not easy. And when you look at Washington's schedule, I looked at it earlier. I think they go on the road to Cal. I know that they get Stanford at home. I think they play Washington State in Pullman, but they always beat Washington State. So I'm not going to assume that the Cougars are going to win that. So I think probably Washington's schedule sets up better for them to be able to run the table than Oregon's does. But I until somebody beats them, I'm putting Oregon on top of the pile for now.
Yeah, they you got the schedule right, and they still have a bye coming up on the 10th of November. You know, as we signed on yesterday, we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, the news about the passing of Paul Allen hit. I've seen a lot of coverage. I'm not sure a lot of people quite comprehend what it means to be the founder of Microsoft. Then you have what we do. You know, he owns two franchises in the two most popular sports leagues, philanthropic endeavors. Is it possible to overemphasize his impact on the lives of, I feel comfortable saying, billions?
Yeah, I was just earlier today, I was reading kind of a eulogy that Bill Gates wrote about him. It was pretty touching about their relationship and just what it was like to work with him and what a brilliant guy he was. You know, it's always kind of a weird relationship between the owner of the team and the fans of the team. Sometimes fans like the owner, sometimes they don't. I guess it's, you know, it probably says something about Paul Allen that Blazers fans, from what I've seen, have been kind of universally complimentary of him, and you know, his passing has really brought a lot of emotion out for Blazers fans. You know, I think one of the things that in the state of Oregon that we can say is the Trailblazers are a huge part of this state's sports identity, and I think probably we have Paul Allen to thank for that to a degree. And all you have to do is look at Seattle and say, man, the fans there, how long has it been? They still haven't gotten over losing the Sonics. You lose a team, your city never gets over it. So the fact that the Blazers are still here and Paul Allen was a big part of that, I think it's something that sports fans in this state are always going to be grateful for.
Quick NFL thought, Brady versus Mahomes. I think they said it was the biggest disparity ever for starting quarterbacks, 18 years apart. Mahomes' college coach was drafted 3 years after Brady. You don't see what we witnessed Sunday night in the pros very often. It was like the current Big 12. But I know you're a Chiefs fan. That's a tough loss. But, man, how entertaining and how much do we need to see that again for the AFC title?
Yeah, no, everybody after that game, all the Chiefs players were talking about how that was only round one and round two is coming up in the playoffs. And I hope it happens because it'd be really fun. There were some other great stats with that game that, like, I think no quarterback younger than 25 had ever beaten Brady in Foxborough, something like that.
Right.
And the thing is, the Chiefs nearly won that game, and that was probably the worst game of Pat Mahomes' NFL career. And he threw a terrible interception in the first half, almost a pick six. It looked like early on maybe he had a little bit of jitters going. The moment was a little bit big for him. But then when he settled in, he just did the same stuff he's been doing all year. And he throws that ridiculous touchdown with whatever it was, like 2 minutes left, which is 2 minutes too long for the Chiefs' defense. Leave them any time, they're going to give something up. But it just was such a fun game. I tweeted during that game, like, growing up a Chiefs fan, I did not realize the Chiefs were allowed to be this much fun. They've never been fun like this. That was a crazy game.
And final thought for Austin Meek, the baseball season is so long you get convinced of certain things. And then the dust settles and you've got the team with the best record in the NL against the defending league champs. Team with the best record in baseball against the defending World Series champs. How you enjoying what you see in this postseason? And do you have a particular lean either way for the World Series?
Well, the cream definitely has risen to the top. That's true. I think when we talked about the Red Sox and the Astros before, my feeling about that was the Red Sox had the best record, but maybe the Astros were the best team. And I think that's maybe kind of what we've seen so far. There's still a long ways to go. But that, that lineup for the Astros is just scary. And I still love the Brewers. They're such a great story. What'd they win? 12 in a row?
Yep.
Something like that, 13 in a row. It's just ridiculously hot team. Watching Lorenzo Cain in center field is just one of the great pleasures in watching baseball. So even though I think I did pick the Dodgers to win it all before the season, I'm still kind of pulling for the Brewers, and I'm kind of thinking Brewers-Astros is going to be our series.
And I'm sure the network suits are like, if you ever see that Meek guy, just shoot on sight. That's instead of Boston, L.A.
That coveted Milwaukee media market is not what they're going for.
Oh, man, that's great. Folks, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Austin, good stuff as always, my friend. You have a great rest of the week.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.